specialist Katie Boynton, our licensing person Mallory Riley, our inspector supervisor Vicky Gardner, and our detective with state police Donnie Armstrong.
Okay, and finally, we have two assistant attorneys general, and I'll have them introduce themselves.
Yes, good morning. Katie Johnson, AAG.
Ron Kay.
Okay, with that, we'll get going. Next up will be the approval of the minutes, first of the February meeting. For those who were here, you might recall that those minutes were deemed to need a little more work, and so they were sent back for some corrections. Milt sent them out. Board members had a chance individually to recommend suggestions, and that was done. Those changes were conglomerated and sent back to us for approval. Is there anything further on the February minutes from anybody on the board? Seeing none. Bob?
No, I mean, if I was there, I'd vote approval of the minutes.
Okay. All right, anything further from the Attorney General's office staff? Seeing nothing. All right, I'd entertain a motion to approve the minutes of the February 2019 board minutes.
I wasn't here, so I was planning to abstain. I don't know.
Okay.
I would move the motion.
So we have a motion. I was here, so I'll second that motion. I'll call for a vote at this time. Those in favor? Two. One abstention. So that brings me to the question that we've had the chance to avoid. I'm going to step out on a limb and say that the minutes are approved. So, yeah. I'm not even going to wait for a legal decision. We're going to say that they're approved. All right, so that brings us to the minutes of the March meeting. Those minutes were drafted and sent to us for review prior to this morning's meeting. Is there anybody that has recommended corrections? Mr. Gay?
Yes, on page 4, the top of the page, when we're talking about the table game rules of play, the last sentence says this would allow for the rules to reflect industry standards. I would suggest we put in the word table game in front of rules. This would allow for the table game rules to reflect industry standards.
Okay, you have that changed, Kate?
Yes.
I would also suggest, as you might recall, there was quite a bit of discussion about the relationship between table games and the minimum internal controls. I would suggest this statement, the board agreed that the proposed rules of play would not overrule minimum internal controls.
Yes. Okay, I remember that discussion as well. All right, do you have that?
Can you repeat that once for me?
Okay. The board agreed that the proposed rules of play would not overrule minimum internal controls.
Okay, any other recommended changes, corrections? We still have Bob?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so hearing no other recommended changes, I'd entertain a motion to approve the March meeting minutes.
So moved as amended.
All right, we have a motion to move as amended.
Second.
And a second. Hearing no further discussion, those in favor? That's unanimous. That brings us next to the Executive Director's Report, Mr. Champion.
Good morning. In operations in March of 2019, there were 39 shipments of machines, and or associated equipment shipped to or from licensed facilities. On-site inspections completed, 598 observations, 36 checklists, 3 minor violations being monitored from our activity log. We had 0 patron complaints and 0 dispositions of formal reports to be sent to the members of the board. There were 10 self-exclusions. For the month of March 2019, we have identified an increase of 0.7% in total tax revenue for both facilities versus March 2018. Year to date, we identified an increase of 0.1% versus last year at the same time. Oxford reported an 8.6% win for the month of March from slots and 21.2% win from table games. Oxford's payback percentage for March was 91.4%. The average gross win per machine was $240.20. Hollywood reported a 10.4% average win for the month of March from slots and 32% win from table games. Hollywood's payback percentage for March was 89.62% with an average gross win per machine of $165.30. On November 27th, 2018, I received a written notification from Penn National Gaming in regard to a potential agreement they were going into with Alliance Data Systems Corporation, ADS, to co-brand a credit card. On January 15th, 2019, AAG's Katie Johnson and Ron Gay and I met with executives from Penn National Gaming to discuss details of that program. Areas of inquiry included reviewing the arrangement for issuance identification in the following areas: underage gambling, casino marketing, extension of credit, and licensing of junket services. As a result of these discussions, there were no issues requiring board approval identified. This conclusion is based on the following factors. ADS is a widely traded cards service business based in Plano, Texas, that develops co-branded credit card programs for many of the world's most recognized brands. ADS promotes its card services programs to businesses as a means for businesses to build more committed relationships with their customers. Credit will be issued by Commodity Bank, which is 100% owned by ADS. Penn National does not own or control ADS. If I'm saying that right, Commodity Bank will handle the approval and financial transactions related to the card. Under the agreement, patrons may apply for the credit card at many of the Penn's 40 properties nationwide or online. The credit card program is expected to complement Penn's current loyalty program by offering customers the opportunity to earn comp and tier points for gaming as a result of rewards utilizing the card. Commodity Bank, third time's a charm, will not issue rewards directly to card holders. Commodity Bank will provide accounting reports to Penn National as to the amount of transactions conducted by card holders, and then based on the transactions made under that card, Penn National will award comp and tier points. Key notes: patrons need to have an active player's account with Penn National to be eligible for the credit card, therefore eliminating the chance for anyone under the age of 21 to have this card. This requirement would also apply to prevent those on the self-exclusion or involuntary exclusion lists to receive a card, and all marketing materials included with the card would need to be met meet local requirements regarding standard problem gaming information. The other issue I have is I did receive information regarding ADW activity from our AAG Ron Gay in his role as the attorney to the Harness Racing Commission, and I defer to Ron for his report.
Okay. As some of you know, I'm the Assistant Attorney General for the Maine State Harness Racing Commission, and they have parallel interest in advanced deposit wagering. The statute is divides up various elements of advanced deposit wagering. So I have a meeting on Friday. They had asked me to do an investigation, and I'm going to be delivering a report on Friday. So I thought I would let you know what that report is about, because you folks have a role in that. There was a complaint made. Is that me? That's Mommy.
No, I don't think so. It's feedback over the phone.
Bob can hit mute when you're not talking.
Can you make your speaker phone?
Yeah. If his phone's okay. By his computer speakers, you're going to get feedback.
Oh, that's better. Is this better now? Thank you. I'll back up.
I think it's Bob. It's not.
Okay. Ask Bob to mute his phone.
He is muted. It says muted.
Or maybe he could turn down the
volume. No, it's his cell phone that needs to be muted.
All right, sorry about that. The Maine State Harness Racing Commission voted and asked me to do an investigation. There was a public hearing on a bill and at the legislature, and at that hearing there was allegations made that there was internet-based advanced deposit wagering occurring in the state of Maine. The Harness Racing Commission did an investigation. Interestingly, what we found is that the state of Oregon issues a multi-jurisdictional license for advanced deposit wagering. And that includes, the theory in Oregon, and I'm not here to get into whether or not Oregon's theory makes sense or not, but they issue licenses for advanced deposit wagering all over the country. And
the country or the world?
Just the country, as far as I know. It might be the world, but that would be a bit of a stretch, perhaps, even more so. But it might be the world. I know it's the country, and the reason I know that is, in terms of the investigation, this Maine State Harness Racing Commission put a FOIA request in. And under their rules, people who have this multi-jurisdictional license has to list each state that they do business in, okay? So when they apply for this license every year and they renew, they have to identify what states they are doing business in. It would appear Oregon also requires them to report in the amount of money, and then they take a tax from each of these for all of this activity. So because of that, Oregon sent back a list of entities that are licensed in Oregon. Now, the list, there's I think a dozen, and several of them indicate that they do business in Maine. Now, I will say from personal experience, we had had discussions with one provider of these services, they were the people that were mentioned during the legislative hearing and said, not sure if you guys are doing this, but if you are, the laws in Maine don't allow it to happen without a license. I'm happy to report that the report back from Oregon indicates they're not doing, so that entity is not doing that in the state of Maine. So they, to the extent they were, they're no longer doing it, they're complying with the law. But based on that experience, some of you may remember how this law came into being. It came in as part of a budget, 11:59, you know, 1 minute before midnight kind of bill, and it came in. And I'm not sure that it's highly publicized, or that people, when they set up their businesses at the time, there was no prohibition in Maine. So I think to the extent there are people doing it in Maine, it might just be a matter of legacy, meaning, well, when they set their businesses up, Maine did not have the law in the books, but now Maine has the law in the books. Under Maine statute, now I've given this advice to see the commissioner here, because there's a public safety law enforcement element to it that the board has nothing to do with. But the board, interestingly, does have one element, and that is, to the extent that you were aware that it was happening, you would send essentially what we call a cease and desist letter to that entity, and also warn them that doing this could result in criminal prosecution. My suggestion is, I think that makes sense, but I would suggest that the board decides this is something you would want to do, we would put on the agenda for the next meeting. And that would be, I would suggest you consider allowing the executive director, if he finds out that there are people who may be doing this, or we might not even know that they are, but there are people who offer this service, we draft a letter that's very educational in purpose, not cease and desist, but rather, we are aware you may be doing this activity. We want you to be aware of the requirements of this activity in the state of Maine. So it'd be an educational letter. So I guess if that's something the board would like to do, then we would draft, you guys could look at the educational letter. As we find out about these entities, and my understanding is a lot of these entities, we're not necessarily going to go in and see whether they're doing it in Maine or not. We are aware that some are doing it in Maine, so we know that some may be doing it in Maine, that we would send out an educational letter. And then if someone brings forward evidence that some that they're still doing it after they receive that educational letter, then maybe we come to the board to get a cease and desist letter. But the statute does say that if you folks find out that it's happening, you do issue a letter. But obviously you guys don't do criminal prosecution, that's public safety. And really that's a matter of prosecutorial discretion, whether they would want to put resources towards this type of activity. So that's my report. Harness racing, I really don't see that anything that they might do over there would in any way impact what the board would do here. I do think it's important, you know, that I, for the Friday report to them, let them know that you guys have heard this. And if you have any comments, this is just a report, it's not a business item, so, but if you would have any comments, I would be happy to share them with the Harness Racing Commission on Friday.
So, let me just ask a clarifying question. So this has been, you know, an elephant in the room, so to speak, for months now, maybe the better part of a year. We have had no direct information that this has been happening. If we did, and it's an entity that we were to regulate, one of the two licensed casinos, that would be one level of board action, because that would be strongly concerning.
Yes, as a matter of fact, you probably wouldn't know about that because we'd be bringing a complaint in the regulatory enforcement.
Yeah.
So, but I am happy to say that there's absolutely no indication that any of our main casinos or their affiliates are doing this.
All right, so that would be sort of involvement A. What we are now hearing about is as a result of the FOIA request to Oregon, in which main entities were listed, and that's how we have some information that this may be going on in Maine.
That's correct. So they're, what they are national entities that, because of the requirements in Oregon, they have to list if they do business in Maine, so yeah. But I am almost certain they probably don't know about this law.
Okay. Are there any other questions from the board? Barbara? Bob?
No, Tim, I'm sorry. I was on mute.
Okay, no questions. So I'd recommend that we do just that. We draft a letter, we bring it back to the next board meeting, we review the letter, talk about whether we want to strongly word one. I think the educational approach makes a lot of sense to me. And how would we be able to follow up?
My suggestion, what I've seen other agencies do, is if there's no evidence, so the first, split to a first wave, anyone that could potentially be doing this get a letter, because it's a non-accusatory letter. It's just saying, we're aware you do this business, we just want you to be aware of the requirements in Maine, okay? I do think we need to put in there the, because it is, I mean, it is a crime in Maine to do it without a license. So.
Yeah.
Non-accusatory, but just say, you know, be aware of it. And then just not follow up, not ask them to respond or anything. It's just a courtesy, heads up, educational kind of letter. If for whatever reason, on our own, someone brings evidence to us, after these people have received this, then I think that we would work on a more harshly worded letter. And we would also then copy, we'd have to find out from the commissioner whether it be law enforcement or whatever. So I don't think we're near that letter yet, and I don't know if we'd ever get there. I really do think that this is a relatively new law, and these businesses have been around for a while, and when they set up their platform, they have these little check things, it's like not offered in the state, not offered here. They probably, when they set the business up, looked in Maine, there was nothing in Maine that prohibited it, and they didn't check the box off, so. That's what I'm understanding is probably what happened. So to answer your question, we would not have a strong letter drafted yet, and if we have to get to one of those, we could deal with it at that point.
And one last question. I'm kind of vaguely remembering that there may be a step that the Attorney General himself or herself could take as well.
Yes, that's not specific to gambling control. Typically what it says is that, like specifically with the Gambling Control Board statute says that you can refer it out to the Attorney General for investigation. We would then work with the department, the department to do the investigation. We have to have a detective develop evidence. So yes, there is that possibility. And as far as harness racing, they can refer to the Attorney General themselves, and that's for a cease and desist letter, so.
Okay. Yeah. All right, once the board feels differently, let's do that. Let's bring a letter back at the next meeting. Let's do one other thing. Let's get an update on where advanced deposit wagering stands generally. This has been, in fits and starts and up again, down again. And for someone who doesn't follow the legislature in that aspect every day, I don't know where we stand personally. So let's get an update on that.
Okay.
All right?
Absolutely.
Okay, I guess that brings us, unless there's anything more in the executive director's report. Well, in terms of the credit card, I don't think we close the loop on that. That requires no further board interaction.
Gotcha.
There is a letter in our packet from Chief Legal Counsel, or Deputy Chief Compliance Officer, Jim Baldacci, explaining the issue. So I think the board's all set.
Good morning. Over the last month, new licenses that were investigated were 17, renewal licenses were 38, and that leaves us with 53 still pending investigations. Between the two casinos, there were 7 thefts, Six of those have been taken care of by funds being recovered, or either that the person's been flagged to be notified. I'm currently working on another theft, the last theft, where the casino is actually the victim. And I will get back to you on the results on that. There was a counterfeit bill, $100 denomination in Bangor that was turned over to Bangor PD. And for calls for service to the casinos, Oxford had 10 for the month, and Bangor had 16. And that's all I have.
Any questions of the detective? Bob, any questions? You're on mute.
No, I don't have any questions, but when it's appropriate, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to go back to the executive committee, the executive director's report.
Sure. All right, thank you. Milt, if you can stand back up, I think it's time I had a question. Go ahead, Bob.
Just what's the status of our legislative activities?
In terms of what, the
Skype?
The Skype bill?
Oh, I haven't heard of any agency bill being looked at this point.
Okay.
I'll follow up additionally with the ABW situation.
All right, would you follow up, the commissioner's here, would you guys talk about that?
Absolutely.
That's a department bill that can be brought past cloture, and that is important to us.
Yes.
We've talked about it, so can we get a report on that at the next meeting?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And Mr. Chairman, I got one other question, kind of. There was a notice of violation in our packet for the month of April with the Bangor Casino. And I was trying to read it. It's kind of hard to get the full understanding of what was happening there, but apparently there's been a fine that's been levied and then deferred, pending a report back from Bangor on staffing levels. How much was that fine?
Well, to be honest with you, I didn't see that.
That might have been 2018.
Were you looking at the correct file? Not April, April 2018. There was nothing in the 2019 packet for this month.
Well, in the 2019 April report, that shows up.
In the Dropbox, Bob?
The Dropbox.
I'll have to check that.
Yeah, I think
Okay, so that's old news?
Well, it's either old news or it's fake news.
I think it somehow comes get into the Dropbox.
Okay.
In the month of April 2019, that probably ought to be eliminated, so.
All right, it's not in mine anyway, and Barbara is saying no. So let's have Milt get back to you personally on that one.
Okay.
He'll give you a call. It's somehow inadvertent.
That's all I have, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Thank you. All right. So that brings us now to unfinished business. We have a recommendation for the awardee of the financial RFP.
Yes. Financial RFP was completed by way of submitted questions on January 31st, 2019. Answers to those questions were completed. The proposals were submitted on February 20th, 2019 by four bidders. The review committee reviewed the bids for the financial review of applicants for suitability and recommend Whipfly and Mac Page to continue the financial services to the state. The board approval process would be a 15-day appeal notification and then the negotiation of the new contract.
Okay. And so the recommendation is for McPage. They've been handling this work for us since, I'm going to guess, this is a real guess, 2004, something like that.
So,
all right, any questions from the board? All right, is that an award that the board makes or is it an award that the department makes?
I think the department makes it. Is that right?
Yes.
Yes, the department makes it.
Okay, so you've awarded the business to Mac Page.
Yes.
All right. Any questions of the board? Right?
No.
All right. Hearing none. That brings us next to new business, and we have a request for the approval of Crazy Four Poker from Oxford.
Yes. I believe Mr. Sauer is ready.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Jack Sauer. I'm the Vice President and General Manager for Oxford Casino. Give you an overview of Crazy Four Poker. So Crazy Four Poker is a standard 52 card game. It's head to head with the casino and the guest, and it's based on a standard poker game. So standard hands with a poker game with a couple of exceptions. There's a payout for a four card straight, there's a payout for a four card flush, and there's a payout for a four card straight flush. So it's very similar to other games that we have. It's in multiple jurisdictions. It's being offered by side games as part of our corporate agreement. So it's a pretty standard thing.
Okay, and the overview for those who like to read about how to play poker is in our packet. Any questions from the board? As you know, the big question we ask is this a standard industry game and is it played elsewhere in the country following these same rules? And you've answered that in the anticipation of our question. So I would entertain a motion unless the board has questions or there's anything from the Attorney General's office.
So one thing I'd like to add, when you do consider table games, Chapter 25 of your rules requires that you look at certain factors. So I can just list those out to you since you don't have them in front of you. In evaluating table game rules, the board shall consider, as you said, conformance with industry standard rules, the object of the game and the method of the play, including what constitutes win, loss, or tie bets, the physical characteristics of the gaming equipment, and the gaming table, the wagers and payout odds for each type of available wager, the applicable inspection procedures for cards, dice, wheels, and balls, or other equipment required by the game, for a game that uses cards, the description of the shuffling procedures, two, the card cutting procedures, three, the procedures for dealing and taking cards, and four, burning cards, and also whether the rules ensure that the game will be played with integrity and are written in language that is plain to the player.
And That's chapter 25.
That's chapter 25, correct.
All right. Is there a motion that Crazy Four Poker meets chapter 25 of the Gambling Control Board rules?
Move.
We have a motion.
Second.
We have a second. Hearing nothing further, those in favor? All right, that's unanimous.
It's approved. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, anything further from the executive director?
No, sir.
All right, that brings us to public comment. Is there anybody here that would like to address the board? All right, seeing none, that brings us to an announcement of the next meeting date. That'll be May 21st here in the conference room beginning at 9 o'clock. Anything further from the board?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Hey, can I just go back to that notice of violation, which
yes.
is in the Dropbox?
Yes.
Just to maybe tell Mr. Champion, it was dated February 20th, 2019.
Okay.
So it's not an old one, it's
a
current one.
I'll have to look at it.
All right, he's
it's
not-
It's unusual that it's, that he has, he's got access to something that you guys don't.
Yeah. So that's what's happening, Bob. Somehow it's in your Dropbox, not in ours. We'll look into that, and if appropriate, we'll handle it at the next meeting.
Okay, that's we can put on the agenda because I have some questions about that notice of violation. If it's, it appears to be, as I say, it appears to be current. So, all right, thank you.
Okay. All right. So, unless there's anything further, I'd entertain a motion to adjourn.
Something.
So we have a motion?
Second.
Okay, those in favor of adjourning, we stand adjourned.